Well, good morning, dear friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live on this Thursday edition. I pray you are having a great start to your morning as well. It's a beautiful day out there. Such a good day to be outside and to do things, but maybe you're like me and you are at work or on your way in. But if you can, take some time and breathe in that air and enjoy the outside. Amen. Well, it's been a week of going through tearing down idols in our lives. And I know this week's series isn't necessarily something that's exciting on the surface or something that's, gets you pumped to look at. But I don't know. I just keep thinking about it this week that how necessary it is for us to have these moments of self-reflection and these moments where we stop and pause and consider where we are in our lives, what is at the forefront of our view, what are we focusing on, what's on the throne of our hearts. And I think one of the most powerful things that we've looked at so far this week, hey, good morning, Cheryl, in this series is understanding the aspect of, you know, when we talk about idols, when we talk about tearing down idols, the aspect is of that God can be on the throne of your heart in one area, but not all areas. And I think sometimes believers will deceive themselves into the aspect of saying, well, you know, I'm being blessed over in this area of my life and things are going well. And, you know, I have God at the center of my life in this area, and therefore I'm good. But when we do that, we box God in and the totality of our lives, right, aren't necessarily walking in the blessing or aren't necessarily walking in the fullness of what God would have for us. So that's where, you know, when we consider, let's not deceive ourselves in the mentality or thinking that, well, I'm okay in every area because I'm okay in one area. So we have to discover, Lord, is my, relationally, are you on the throne of my heart? Good morning, Denise. In the realms of health and healing, are you on the throne of my heart? Fill in the blank there. So I hope this week is a challenge for all of us as we're looking at idols and tearing down idols and, to really evaluate every area of our lives, because, and I said this a few months ago on the live, but we are the only ones who can stop our progress forward. Hey, good morning, Paula. We are the only ones who can stop our progress forward. Satan has not the ability doesn't have the ability to stop us from progressing and moving forward in our lives. He just can't. And God's certainly not trying to hold us back. The only one who can stop us from moving forward is us, right? And so if we're not moving forward in an area of our life, it very well may be because that God is not on the throne of that area of our life. So good morning, Sue Fitzky. Good to see you. So one of the things that we want to do is we just want to evaluate and say, Lord, are you seated on the throne of my heart in every area? There's an area of my life that I'm lacking in, whether it's finance, whether it's health, whether it's relationally, whatever it is in your life. That's where we want to pause and say, is this an attack of the adversary? Is this something out of left field? Or do I not have right things in right places? Because let's stop wasting time. Let's not move around the mountain. Let's recognize it. Let's deal with it. Let's move on. I don't want to be like the Israelites who went from cycle to cycle to cycle to cycle of being in the will of God, being back in their promised land, but only turning again. We read the scripture again yesterday, where they would turn again from God back to their idols and again be taken captivity. Why? Because anytime you move away from God and you put something else on the throne of your heart, it is always, always the entrance of some form of captivity in your life, some form of bondage in your life. And we serve a gracious and loving God who rushes in and brings breakthrough when we repent and we come back to him. But I don't know about you, but I want to stop the cycle of needing to rebuild Jerusalem every few years, right? I want to dwell in the land. I want to be like David when he said, he's brought me to a wide open place, right? Like no more in captivity, no more needing to rebuild, but that he would bring us into a wide, beautiful, spacious place that we could dwell in the land, not be in the land and then fall back into idolatry, be taken captive again, continue to repeat the cycles, but to dwell fully in the land. And I believe that that's what God wants for you, is that you would dwell fully, right? Now, I want you to pay attention to that word, fully in the land. Remember, because what I just say is that he can be on the throne of your heart in one area, but there's another place of your heart when it comes to forgiveness that, no, God, you're not going to touch that. I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm not going to let that offense go. I'm not going to do it. So what have you done? You've limited God's ability to bring you into the fullness of the land that he has for you. So what are we going to do? We're going to look at idols. We're going to pray. We're going to discern, Lord, is there something on the throne of my heart that does not belong there? So let me give you a scripture as we begin this dive today. Judges 6:25 says, take your father's young bull and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. Now, in this scripture, God is speaking directly to Gideon. And what I love about this scripture and what he was showing me this morning with it is it's not that God wasn't talking to Gideon about the Midianites, who was their adversary at this time. Like, that's what we want God to talk to us about is, Lord, talk to me about my adversaries, right? Like, Satan's coming against me. They're going to flee my adversary seven ways, right? Jen and I, again, talked about this when even we're talking about the last age, where he says, take heed of yourself. God didn't talk to Gideon about the Midianites. God talked to Gideon about the idols in his own backyard. The idols in his own backyard. Because here's the thing, you know, even when Israel's enemy took the ark in the presence of God, and they, if you know the story, they brought the ark into their temple with all their idols and all their other things. And when the ark was there and the presence of God was there, the Bible says that in the morning they came and their idol had fallen down and broken. And they put it back up. And the next morning they came back in and it fell down and was broken again. Here's what you need to know is that when God is in the right place in your life, when he's on the throne of your heart, when he's on the right place of your life, you have to worry very little about your adversaries. Like Gideon wanted to talk to God about the Midianites, his adversaries, and God said, don't talk to me about your adversaries. Talk to me about the idols in your own backyard. Why? Because when God is on the throne of your heart and he's on the right place in your life, he's in the right place in your life, anything contrary to the presence of God cannot remain. So what am I saying? The greatest act of spiritual warfare that you can leverage in your life is to not even get a battle strategy about your adversary. But the greatest strategy of warfare that you can do is to ensure that God is on the right place in your heart and in your life. Why? Because when the presence of God is there, when God's in the right place, when he's positioned on the throne of your life, anything contrary to the presence of God will always fall before him. So again, so when we want to come to God and we want to say, well, Jesus, I got to talk to you about the Midianites. You have no idea what they're doing. God, I got to talk to you about the Philistines. And again, we can fill in, you know, what the Midianites and the Philistines are equivalent today, but whatever. Your adversary. God, I got to talk to you about my mountain. My mountain is so humongous. I don't know how I'm going to get it to move. I don't know how I'm going to get it out of my way. And God says, I don't want to talk about your mountain. I want to talk about Gideon. I want to talk about the idols that are in your world, because as we said yesterday, God can't dwell in a temple where there's idols. He cannot dwell in what he has not cleansed. So here, if I was Gideon, I could look at God's strategy here and say, God, you're not doing this thing right. I have adversaries, and you're talking to me about my attitude. In essence, hold on. I have a mountain in front of me, and you're trying to talk to me, about fixing my heart and forgiving. God, I'm trying to get breakthrough in my world, and you're out here talking to me about giving and about tithing and about putting you first in my finances. And I don't know if you ever felt like that, but you want to say, God, are you missing what's happening here? But see, God understands there's very little warfare that has to happen. There's very little pushback against the adversary that has to happen when God is on the throne of your heart and his presence is indwelling your life. It's like when Jesus cast the demons out of the demon-possessed man and they went into the pigs and they were begging for mercy. It's like when the presence of God walks in, every demonic force runs out. Right, Cheryl says it starts in our own house. We got to get it right in our own house. Yes, where it starts, right here. So Gideon, God saying, listen, don't talk to me about the Midianites. I want to talk to you about the idols in your own yard. And I'm saying is when we are really good at addressing our own stuff, getting our own stuff before God right, making sure our own hearts are right, our own attitudes are right, making sure that we don't have an idol of unforgiveness in our life, right? That we don't have an idol of materialism worship, right, in our own life. When we get our own stuff right, that's why the Bible says, give the devil no foothold, give him no entrance, give him no place. When we have God out of order in our life and he's not on the throne of our hearts, we give the devil, the adversary, entrance into our lives. And now we have all kind of mess. We got idols. We got the devil in our life wreaking havoc. But God says, listen, the greatest thing you can do to shore up your life, to strengthen your borders, to strengthen your gates, to make sure there's no access point for the adversary. Like, you know, the scripture that talks about, you know, even, you know, when you're not honoring God in your giving, how it's like pockets with holes. And it's like if, you know, the Bible says our heart is like if you don't guard your heart, it's like a city without walls. And just kind of get that imagery in your mind, if you will, of a city with multiple entrances. And, you know, you're over here fighting a battle at this entrance. And as you're doing that, the enemy's coming in the back entrance and there's somebody climbing over the wall over here. And it's like never ending battle, never ending warfare, never ending conflict. But when you have Christ as the on the throne of your heart, there's no idols. His presence is indwelling your life. It shores up, if you will, the walls of your city. Now you're just enjoying the presence of God. You're dwelling in the land. You're in a wide open, spacious place. The enemy's fleeing in front of you. All of that stuff is taken care of. Why? Because the presence of God doors up the walls of our heart. The presence of God pushes back the adversary. The presence of God makes sure that any attack, or as the Bible says, it's like that shield or the shield that the fiery darts of the adversary can't penetrate. It's like that fiery hedge of protection that the Bible talks about around our lives. So that's why, you know, listen, talking about idols isn't the most exciting thing in the world. Right, it's taking that moment and saying, you know what, I have made my job my God, I have made relationships my God, I have made acceptance my God, and it's no wonder that I'm seeing drama and battles and conflict on every side. But here's the thing: just as the enemy has limited ability and power in your life, he has no ability from stopping you from fixing the problem. Why? Because all you have to do is come back to the Lord and say, Father, I see in this area where I have made this thing my God. I have made comfort my God. I know you called me to step out on the waters. I know you called me to risk it. I know you've called me to pursue. I know you've called me to go there. I know you called me to take that step of faith, and I've made comfort my God. I haven't wanted to do anything that would cause me to be uncomfortable. Now, Lord, I repent for making comfort my idol, and today forward, I will respond and do what it is you've called me to do. I will take the step of faith. I'll start the business. I'll go to college. I'll witness to that person on my job. I'll do whatever it is you've called me to do. Why? Because I have repented from making comfort my idol. Doors closed to the adversary. We're moving forward here. You want to move forward in your life, get rid of the idols. You want revival in your home, get rid of idols. You want revival in your church, get rid of idols. God's first step in breaking the power of idols in our lives is to confront the idol. Listen, God had an amazing plan for Gideon, an amazing plan. Gideon would go on to be used by God to deliver an entire nation. Think about that for a minute. The call of God on Gideon's life is that he, and again, this isn't how Gideon sees himself. When God finds Gideon, Gideon is hiding out on the threshing floor. He's hiding because he sees himself as this weak, need, scared man who just has no ability for God to do anything incredible in his life. But God looked at Gideon and said, oh, you mighty warrior, Gideon, called those things that be not as they are, said, Gideon, you mighty warrior, I don't see you as a scared man hiding on the threshing floor. I have a call on your life to deliver an entire nation through you. That was the call of God on Gideon's life. Not where he was. It's not how he saw himself. It wasn't his education level. It wasn't his battle experience level. It wasn't, he had no natural ability to do and be what God had called him to be. I want you to just think about that for a minute. Is the call on Gideon's life was to deliver a nation? What's the call on your life? What's the plan and purpose of God? Because what I want you to see is, though that was the call of God on Gideon's life, God wouldn't release Gideon to fulfill the call until he had confronted the idols in his family and in his own backyard. God said, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. Gideon, you are called to break free a nation. You are called to lead the armies of God. But you can't do any of it until you go. What did the scripture say? Until you go, take your father's young bull and tear down the altars of Baal and the wooden image beside it that is in your own yard. Here's the truth. God won't appoint you to fight public battles until you first win the private ones. Say that again. God will not anoint you to fight public battles until you first win the private ones. This is all throughout your Bible. I mean, consider David being anointed as king. It's almost the same story as Gideon. Anointed, called king, but didn't release David to take the throne until he first proved his character when Saul stood in front of him and he had every ability to take Saul's life, but he didn't. Why? Because he had to prove that, you know what? I will not touch God's anointed. I will hold my integrity. What was he doing? God was saying, listen, until you prove your integrity in your own self, I won't anoint you to take the throne. God won't anoint you to fight public battles until you win the private ones. Listen, God never skips over idols to get revival. He'll never skip over idols to get revival. So again, here's what I want to challenge us on these good mornings, man, is how do I word this right? You, in essence, are the master of your own domain. I know that's like a cliche thing. But the enemy can't stop you. The enemy can't block you. And God is standing in front of you, calling you forward. The only one who can stop your life from moving forward is you. You can either allow God to take control, give over your domain to him, and to allow him to move you from hiding on the threshing floor to leading a nation into victory. Or you can say, no, I will remain on the throne of my heart. But what God will never do is he will never bypass the idols in your life. I heard this said years ago, that God makes the man before he makes the ministry. And that is so true. God is less worried about our public image than he is worried about our heart. Because listen, he said in the end, when there's that great throne judgment, he said, many will stand in front of me and say, well, God, we fed the sick and we fed the hungry. We've given water to the thirsty. We've done all of these things in your name. But he says, but you didn't know me. What is he saying? There will be many who will even minister in my name, but never knew me. God's not worried about building a platform. He's not worried about building a mantle. He's not worried about building a ministry. He's worried about your heart. He's worried about what's on the throne of your heart. What idols have his people? But God is not trying to get you to win public battles. He's trying to get you to have victory over the private ones. Gideon's family had so normalized idol worship alongside belief in God. And I think it's powerful to note that this was an idol that his father had established. That many times the pattern of idol worship in our lives is something that's been passed down. It's how we grew up. It's what we know. It's what we have become accustomed to. It's what we think is normal. Listen, be careful in what we categorize as normal. Cheryl says, I have been hearing, in turning and returning, you shall be saved. This is a clarion call. Tear down these idols. They are false. Repent and return to truth. With all of our hearts, we build altars to worship the one and only true God. Absolutely, Cheryl. And Gideon's family had so normalized idol worship alongside their belief in God. But here's what the Bible says. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, again, we're not, most of us aren't, you know, putting up statues in our home and bowing down and praying to them. But what we do in 2025 is we try to mix Christianity with convenience. We try to mix Christianity with compromise. We try to mix Christianity with carnal reasoning. But you can't mix God with what he died to destroy. He came to annihilate the works of the devil. And you can't mix God with what he died to destroy. Jeremiah 2:3 says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and thrown themselves into cisterns that hold no water. they have thrown themselves into cisterns that hold no water. He said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. It's a crazy thing to consider that when we have found living water, that we would throw ourselves again into a cistern that holds no water. It's a crazy thing to experience the presence and the power of God that satisfies like nothing else could satisfy, and still turn and look to money as our source, or look to a job as our idol, or look to relationships to be the answer, when we've already discovered the fountain of living water. So idols must be torn down, not tolerated. God does not say, listen, just push the idols aside or ignore them. No, he says, tear them down. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Come out from among them and be separate. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And I think it's interesting that scripture notes agreement. Why? Because we just read the scripture that says a double-minded man cannot stand. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now, I know this is, a lot of times we're talking about Old Testament temples, but in the New Testament, we understand that know ye not that you are the temple of God. I'm the temple of God. You are the temple of God. The presence of God dwells on the inside of us. So what agreement has the temple of God with idols? But he says, come out from among them and be separate. So we often just rename idols to justify them. But listen, God says, tear them down. Consider this for a second. We would all consider greed to be an idol. In modern society, we just rename greed as ambition. Well, they're just an ambitious person. No, they have bowed their knee to the idol of greed, meaning that nothing will ever be enough. They will continue to want and to lie and to cheat and to scheme. And even if they're not lying, cheating, and scheming, they will never stop pursuing the more of materialism. Why? Because they are trying to fill an empty void on the inside of their heart. They're throwing themselves into cisterns that hold no water. Why? Because what they really need is the fountain of living water. But what we have done is we've just said, well, I'm not greedy, I'm just ambitious. We call lust expression. Well, I'm not lustful. I'm not a lustful person. I just have self-expression. No, call it what you want. It still is what it is. The names of idols have changed from generation to generation. But can I tell you, the same idols that they were dealing with back in the temple in Jesus's day are the same idols that we deal with today in our society. We call the idol of disobedience. We call it personal choice. Personal choice. Well, it's just my personal. No, it's my right. It's my truth. It's my personal choice. No, you're being disobedient. That's what God called it. So we got to be careful, because listen, God doesn't want management for his idols. He demands elimination. He's not saying, well, bring that ambition, bring that expression, and bring that personal choice. Just calm it down a little bit. No. He said, I don't want management. I want elimination. He says, that's why the scripture says, more of you, God, less of me. More of you, less of me. I think it's the most powerful prayer ever prayed in scripture. More of you, less of me. Because why? Less of me means death to greed. Less of me means death to lust. Less of me means death to disobedience. He doesn't want idol management. He wants and demands elimination. Now, this is a total side note thing out of left field, and I hope it doesn't cringe anybody. But listen, yesterday I had on the background when I was here at work, I don't know how it got there, but, you know, YouTube just plays things. And somehow it got to a true crime case and was just on in the background. But an elderly gentleman had purchased a home. And in the crawl space of this home that he just purchased was his barrel. And he took this barrel and didn't know what it was. And it was hard to open. So he just took it out to the trash. And the trash people went to pick it up and said, this thing's too heavy. They put a note on it that said, we're not taking it. It's too heavy. So now the man didn't know what to do with it. So he opens the barrel only to find inside of it a body. So the investigators came in and they discovered that this barrel had a body of a young woman in it. And it had been there since the 1960s. Now this barrel was just found a few years ago. And they had traced back and the house had gone through like five or six different owners. And all the owners said, yeah, we remember the barrel that was in the crawl space, but it didn't affect us. We left it there. It was, you know, too heavy to move. So eventually they traced it down. They solved the case and blah, blah, blah. But the point that I thought was so interesting about that is that through five or six different homeowners, they all saw a random closed barrel in the crawl space of their basement. But none of them, until this old man bought the home, wanted to put in the effort to remove this random barrel from the crawl space to clean out the home. And as a result, all of these families lived with this horrific thing literally under their feet. Like they all lived with this body under their feet for decades. Because they all said it's too much work to move the barrel. That was like staggering to me when I heard that. I thought, man, how crazy. And I just thought, I wonder how many of us are living with barrels in our basements, barrels in our attics, hidden things. Why? Because we just say it's too much work. I'll just manage it. It's not hurting anybody. It's been there a long time. Just leave it. It's covered in cobwebs. It's not hurting anybody. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Tearing down idols takes courage. Tearing down idols takes courage. That's right. Cheryl says, living among dead bones. That's a good title for today. Living among dead bones. But listen, that's why Judges 6:7 says, but because he feared his father's household, talking about Gideon, he did it by night. He feared his father's house. It takes boldness. It takes courage to sometimes confront the things that have been there for generations and for decades, or we have just grown accustomed to. Like maybe God's calling you to with your kids to sit down and have Bible study and to pray for one another every day. And can I tell you, that takes courage, especially if it's not been built into the pattern of your life. My kids are going to think it's weird, or they're going to, you know, hate this, or, you know, they know, you know, my attitude problem sometime, and now I got to sit and preach the Bible to them. And they fear the household. And now because they fear rejection and they want to stay comfortable and they don't want to move the barrel, they bow their knee to disobedience. They bow their knee to the God of comfort. But here's what I think is powerful. Gideon obeyed, even if he had to do it by night. Gideon obeyed, even if he did it scared. Even if it risked offending his family. Even if it risked offending his community or his culture. He risked offending a lot of people and he was afraid, but he did it scared. Joyce Meyer has a teaching on that years ago. She says, do it afraid. Sometimes there's not much you can do about fear. Obviously, we stand against it, you know, but some things in your life are just scary. Some things in your life are just scary. But do not bow your knee to the idol of fear. Now, you're saying, well, fear, idols of fear, uncontrolled. Yes, again, everything we're talking about, everything we've been talking about, money is not a bad thing. Relationships aren't a bad thing. Comfort. We talked about the Sabbath not being a bad. God wants us to have rest and downtime and enjoy life. And, you know, he wants all of that. And fear often is, it can be a good thing in the aspect of, you know, well, I don't want to touch that or touch a hot stove. I fear the hot stove. Why? Because I know what it can produce in my life. Fear sometimes can put healthy boundaries. The fear of God, right? The fear of being out of his will. But fear uncontrolled, just like the love of money, just like the desire for unhealthy relationships, can all turn into idols. So never bow your knee to the idol of fear. If God's calling you to do it, then you'd step out and you do it afraid. I love that Gideon, he obeyed even if he did it by night. Even if he did it by night. So tearing down idols, let's be honest here, it may cost you friends, it may cost you popularity, it may cost you reputation. They might think you become a religious freak. They might say, oh, what now, you know, they're too good to go see that movie. They're too, you know, whatever. It may cost you. But revival, renewal, having God moving in your life is always born through the obedience of one person who refuses to compromise. I'm going to say that again. Revival is always born through the obedience of one person who refuses to compromise. Tearing down idols is not for cowards. It takes someone who fears God more than they fear man. And listen, Judges 6:34 says, then, I want to preach in this studio today. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Not before he tore down the idols, but after. The anointing falls on clean altars. If you want the fire to fall in your life, in your church, in your nation, you have to remove the idols first. If there's no fire in the church, it's because there's still no idols on the altar. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Listen, public impact always follows private purity. Let me give you real quick today, as we're running short on time, some practical steps again to tear down these idols. Number one, identify it. Ask, what am I more loyal to than I am to God? What am I afraid to give up? Often that's a key sign to what has you instead of you having it. And then after we identify it, number two, we expose it. We speak the truth. We don't justify it. We don't try to rename it. We don't try to say, well, you know, it's, we don't try to, you know, well, this is a pattern. This is a poor me. This is a thing I can't, no. We expose it. We identify it. We expose it. It is what it is, right? It is what it, don't try to pretty it up and put a bow on it and spray some perfume on it and justify it. Just expose it. Speak the truth. Don't justify it. And don't try to rename it. Just expose it, right? And then break agreement, renounce it in prayer, break spiritual ties and cycles to it. Come on, if you have an unhealthy relationship that you're trying to move on from, sometimes you gotta even get rid of anything that ties you to that relationship. Why? I'm having a healthy break here, a healthy, clean, soul tie break in the name of Jesus. And you renounce it in prayer. You break spiritual ties and cycles. And number four, you destroy the altars. You delete it. You disconnect from it. You walk away from it. Listen, sometimes I heard Craig Rochelle talk about this in one of his sermons, but he says, you know, sometimes he had to tell people, listen, get rid of the phone. If this is a gateway to an idol of pornography, if this is a gateway to an idol of gambling, if this is a gateway into an idol of social media and texting and those old relationships. He said, listen, if you got to break and destroy and throw this phone into a fire pit and get a 1990s flip phone, do it. If this is a gateway to an idol of zoning out and comfort and being on social media hours a day. You want to see if this is causing idol worship in your life? Watch what you do. You go to your settings, right? And they have this little thing down here called screen time. And when you just look at your screen time, it'll tell you really quickly if this is playing a role of idol worship in your life or opening the door to idol worship in your life in one way or another. And listen, if you got to say, I know I'm not going to be able to check my emails. Listen, if work has become an idol for you, then the healthiest thing you can do is to get rid of this thing. You might say, well, I got a payment on it. I don't care. Is it worth your eternity? Burn it, break it, lock it. You know, some of the things you can do on these things is you could put a passcode on it to block certain apps. So if you're married and you're saying, you know what, I need to not check my emails after work. I need to be with my family. Work has to stop when I get home. And here's what you do. You have your spouse put a time limit for that app. If you don't know how to do it, you can search it on YouTube. Come on. And only your spouse knows that password. You don't know that password, right? So now when it's like it's home, 5 o'clock, the phone turns off, you can't get to that app. Now, if there's an emergency, you can say, you know, honey, can you log in? There's an emergency. All right. Outside of that, I don't have access to that app between 5 and 6 in the morning. Don't have access to it. Or sometimes just break the thing, get a flip phone, right? My point is, destroy the altars, disconnect from it. If there's a friendship that you've had for 30 years, but that friend keeps pulling you back into that darkness, into that pattern, break it. I'm sorry. When you get to heaven and God, you stand before the Lord, the excuse of, well, I was trying to be a good friend, isn't going to fly. Break the relationship, walk away from it. That's not saying that they're a bad person. It's not saying you don't want the best for them. But listen, take heed of yourself. Remember, that's what God said to Gideon. Take care. Before you can go break that person free, you got to take care of the idols in your own backyard. You're responsible for you and not them. Break the relationship. Walk away and say, listen, I'm sorry. In this season of life, I got to get some things right in me. I got to deal with some things and I apologize. You know, this might seem harsh, but I can't commune with you in this season. I can't walk with you in this season. Something changes. I pray it does. But in this season, I'm sorry. I can't go there. I can't. I'm sorry. And number 5, build a new altar. One thing we know when Jesus taught about deliverance from demons, and I'm not saying breaking, and you know, if you have an idol in your life, I'm not saying that you're demon possessed. But one thing Jesus taught us about how the enemy works is when he was talking about demon possession, he said, listen, when the demon flees, he's going to go look for a new home. And if he can't find one, he's coming back. And if there's an entrance back into you, he will come back with 7 of his friends and it'll be worse for you than it was the first time around. What does that teach us? Is that we can't just expel the idols from our life. We have to rebuild it. We have to rebuild those places with a new altar, replace it with worship, replace it with the word, replace it with daily surrender. Make sure that God is on the throne of our hearts in that area. Make sure that like Romans 12:1 says, that we're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. So real quick, identify it, expose it, break agreement with it, denounce destroy the altars. And then number 5, rebuild new ones, godly ones. So what idol has God put his finger on in your life? Question for you today is, will you obey, even if it costs you, even if you have to make a payment for a phone that you can no longer use, even if you have to make the phone call or send the text message or send the email stating that, I'm sorry, this relationship is over and done. I can't with you anymore. If you know that there is no possible way for you to work at that company and still lead your family in the way that God's called you to lead it, then it may cost you income and it may cost you position. But again, when you stand before the Lord, he gave you that family and those children to be responsible for and to lead and to raise and to train. That's your first priority. He's not going to say, well, I know, you know, you weren't there for your family, but man, you really did get that CEO position, didn't you? No. What did you do with what I asked you to do? That's all we're responsible for. What did we do with what God asked us to do? And it's not rocket science that the first thing that we are responsible for are those of our own house. The Bible actually says those who do not provide for those of their own house have denied the faith and are worse than an infidel. Well, that's why I'm working 80 hours a week. Listen, providing for your own home is more than money. It's time. It's spiritual leadership. It's effort. It's being present. So again, all of these things, that's what I'm saying. It's going to cost you. It might cost you something tangible. It might cost you a relationship. It might cost you a position. It may cost you your comfort. It may cost you saying, you know what? I'm going to make the change. I'm not going to have that be an idol in my life anymore. And I'm not going to be comfortable as I'm making the change, but I'm tearing down the idols. I'm tearing them down. Listen, tearing down idols may cause controversy, but it will bring you clarity. It may create tension, but it opens the door to transformation. So let me pray for you today. Father, we stand before you today. And Lord, that's what we want. We want transformation in our lives. We want to see your power at work. We want the fire of God burning in our hearts and in our lives. We want to move forward in you. We want to accomplish the will and the plan of God for our lives. Now, Lord, we recognize today that there may be some things in our lives that are holding us back, some idols that we have exalted that are stopping us from receiving all of you, stopping us from having you on the throne of our whole heart. All we are asking today, Father, is would you reveal those things to us? Would you speak to us and put your finger on those things that we have bowed our knee to? Comfort, materialism, sexual gratification, all of those things, relationships that we have bowed our knee to. Would you just begin to speak to us about them? And Father, would you help us tear down those idols and destroy them so that you could have all of our hearts, that we could move into that wide open, spacious place, that we could walk in the, like, just like Gideon, that we would fulfill the call and the plan of God on our lives, even when it's hard, even when we're scared. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray that this series of messages is helping you. I know it's helping me. I told you, we started this on Monday, and Tuesday we didn't do a live, but Tuesday I was driving and the Lord just spoke to me clear as day that for you is an idol. That's what you turned to in comfort. It's what you turned. And I just said, yeah, you know, God, you're, and I wasn't even thinking spirits when I pray that for you today. Is if you don't know if there are idols erected in your life, that God, the Holy Spirit, would speak to you today, tonight, laying in bed, watching TV, whatever, that he would reveal it to you. And when he does, get to work putting it in its proper place. Get to work tearing it down. And listen, and this is the last thing I say, just to reiterate the point. Tearing down an idol will always cost you something. It always does. Listen, whenever you go to make a change in your life, people will resist that change. Why? Because when people see you moving and you changing, it shines a spotlight. Like, listen, if you and your friend group, you know, used to love going to see those horror movies, and it was a thing that y'all did, and blah, blah, blah. But now God's saying, listen, you're the temple. I don't want you seeing those things. You got, I need you to lay that down. All right, God, I'll lay it down. Well, now when you got to start telling your friend group, listen, I just don't want to see that stuff anymore. Y'all go ahead, have fun. I don't want to do it. Do you know what happens? It starts to shine a spotlight on their acceptance of what would be evil. Instead of confronting and saying, you know what, you're right. What do most people do? They don't say, you know what, you're right. We shouldn't probably watch that, or we shouldn't do that, or we shouldn't gossip, or we shouldn't backbite, or we shouldn't, you know, whatever. They don't often say that. They often say, oh, what, you're too good for us now? Oh, you're changing. I don't like it. I like who you used to be. Get ready for it. When the friend calls you up and says, listen, did you hear what happened? You know what? I got to be really careful. I don't want to enter into gossip and backbiting. Let's just pray for that person. Oh, okay. It's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to ruffle some feathers. It just is. It might even be with your own spouse. It just is. But never back down. Just like Gideon, he was afraid of his father's house, but he still did it, even though he did it by night. You have to just say, it is what it is. But if I back down from this, then it means I'm bowing my knee to the idol of other people's approval and other people's acceptance. And when I do that, what did I just do? I just erected a new idol in my life. So instead of tearing them down, I'm just adding more. Never add more idols for the sake of somebody else's comfort or the sake of somebody else's feeling. Be bold, even if you have to do it by night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being on with me today. I believe today was good. I believe it'll help you if you put this into practice. And I will see you tomorrow morning right here on Good Morning Live. Be blessed.